Blog Talk Radio.
Woman of God, and she is the daughter of
Reverend Andre Sills and Reverend Pamela Sills, and also the granddaughter of Ms. V, Vivian Harris. Amen. So let us read. Jacquez Sills is a born-again believer that believes that God is seeking the younger generation to stand up and be a voice that will be bold enough to speak out on God's principles and live a life as such. She is a graduate of William Penn High School, where she served as corps commander over 250 students. Isn't that something? In the junior ROTC program. Among some of her achievements, Jacquez was chosen to address the Department of Education on the behalf of her student body to speak about what programs can be implemented to make students more interested in learning and to address the unmet needs of the student population, especially those from low-income households. Currently, Jacquez Sills is pursuing a bachelor's degree in social work with a minor in Christian ministries. Amen. Alongside of her education, she is currently a program assistant at a Women and Children's Shelter and a child care worker at the YMCA. In the near future, she aspires to become a social worker, working with children and their families, while also, amen, training and teaching others about the vitality of childhood. Her passion is to help youth and young adults recognize their potential in life and develop ways to bring it forth. As a child care worker, she strongly believes in planting positive seeds of love, affirmation, and wisdom pertaining to life that one day will blossom in the future. Jacquez demonstrates leadership among her friends and peers socially, academically, and most of all, spiritually. As a minister in training, she strives to be an example that God will be proud of and that others can look towards. She believes that God has given us all gifts, and hers is to empower, challenge, and change the lives of youth through teaching children's church and membership. Jacquez understands that every child that is sent under her care, amen, is another life destined for greatness. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, which was James 5:15. And also, we thank God for Jacquez's bio. I had to read everything, you know, because she is a firecracker, and I just love her. Amen. So, you want to say something? So before I'm going to bring her on, because look, last week we went overtime, amen. We went over the time, so this week I'm gonna make sure that we get this time in, amen. So just give me a minute to bring her in. So blessed for her. Hey, Michael, what up? How y'all star? Hi, Ms. V. That's my grandmama. Hey, DC. Amen. How about you? I'm just reading off the names, y'all, to be on why I bring Jacquez. Hi, Robin. Amen. Hey, Sister Murchison. Okay. We have her in. Hey, Minister Jacquez.
Good afternoon, Reverend Martin. How are you?
Good in yourself. Good in yourself. Girl, I am
I am
right
doing
now.
Well.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I do. Yes.
When I tell you, is your body? When I tell you how God, oh my God, honey, he shows up.
Yes, he did.
Oh my God, and he's forever present in your life, and I bless God for you, and thank you for joining in again on this weekend with a part two of Pushing Past His Place. So I explained last week, we just want to give just a quick synopsis of what you talked about last. enter in to another topic, but first, if you could kind of like just brief them on your story and what you talked about on last week. Amen.
Yes, so last week I briefly shared the moment in my life, or should I say a chapter in my life where I got married at the age of 17. And it definitely took me for a ride, but even in that, through everything that I went through my period of loneliness, spending birthdays by myself, having my husband come back home and turning around and leaving back out again to go party and go to the club and, you know, getting drunk and coming back in and having physical fights, verbal arguments, things of that sort, which was something that I never thought that I would go through before. Even in that, even with that happening to me, God still made it possible for me to push past all that may have happened to me. And he was the one that gave me strength to not stay in that place that I could have been in, which was bitterness, being numb, being depressed, being angry, being who I had become from that situation. God was gracious enough to get me through that. And as per our conversation last week, I just kind of gave a couple of things that I did in order to help me push past that place. And just to briefly review, the first thing that I had to do was realize who I was and not who I had become. So in that, I had to remind myself that I am someone that is fearfully and wonderfully made by a king. I had to remind myself that I am a child of the Most High God, that I am more than a conqueror. I am chosen and favored by God. And most of all, that I am the head and not the tail. And with me being all those things that I know that I am, I had to come to a place of realizing that what I was getting was not what I deserved. So therefore, because it's not what I deserved, it was up to me to do something about it. The second thing that I share was that it is really, really important to have a support system, people who will be there that you can trust to help you get through the process that you might be walking through. And having people that are there to speak life into you, to speak the word of God over you, to just be an ear if you need to vent, or to give you a hug if you just need somebody to love on you for a little bit. And then the last thing that I shared last week was, most of all, you have to always pray and trust in God that even though you might be currently going through something, you have to understand that God has greater in store. And just because you went through that doesn't mean that your story has come to an end, but that it was only a chapter in your life. And through that, God would then use what you went through in that chapter for somebody else.
Oh my God, amen. Child, let's talk about a brief summary, honey. You hit it and just quit.
Like I said, to keep it as brief as possible, because we can go somewhere with that.
You know it. But I bless God, because going through a horrific experience and something that you did not expect. I know when I look back of me being and wanting to be married, and the one thing I wanted to say and clear up is like a disclaimer on here that we are not bitter, you know, and we had to pray to ask God to remove the bitterness from our heart. Now, when I remember when I talked to Minister Jack Quay, and I called it, of course I talked to him within the 2 years, but I'm just saying I remember a specific conversation over 2 years ago, and I was telling her how I understand a woman who's bitter. I understand a woman. It don't even have to be a relationship, but I understand a woman that's bitter of brokenness, loneliness, and curveballs that have been thrown at her within her life, and she becomes bitter. But what I did not want to do is develop into that bitter woman, like a woman where I couldn't love again, where I couldn't embrace, you know, asking God to fill the loneliness from my heart. So if there's anyone on this line that have not been in a relationship, we're not talking about being bitter from just from a relationship. It can just be life itself, from the workplace or from the house or coming up as a child, whatever was thrown to you that you felt like, oh my gosh, why me, God? But what I love about what Minister Jack Quay said is that she didn't allow the bitterness to stay with her. And then she had people to embrace, like her mother, her father, her sister, her grandmother. But also, she said last week, there has to be at least one person that you can just think of where you can just talk and vent to who you can trust. Because sometimes in this situation, you can feel like very alone about situations. Some of us mourn because of loved ones, so we won't love again because we are afraid for us to attach ourselves to people or a person because we may feel like God may take them from us. We don't know. God does stuff in the way he wants to do it, but what we know is that whenever he does something, it's made perfect, and it turns around anew, and he allowed you to be able to, yes, to help somebody else going through a tough situation. So, Jack, wait, did you want to say something before I move on?
No, you hit it right on the head, and I just totally agree with what you said, is that sometimes when bitterness comes, sometimes it can come so strong that it begins to overtake us and keep us in such a place, but you have to find that inner strength no matter how deep it is, and you have to be able to find that and lean on that, and most of all, lean on God and the strength that he can give to help pull you up out of that place. But you hit it right on the head, and I definitely agree with everything that you just said, Reverend Martin.
Yeah, and another thing also I wanted to, before we move on to the next topic, to talk about when we don't listen to the Lord, because I know I heard the Lord, but I didn't listen to God, and I'm married anyway, and you know, marriage is a beautiful thing, God ordained it, I love it. Look, I know I waited for my Boaz, amen, but the thing about it is that I didn't listen because I wanted it so bad until I didn't listen to God. I didn't listen to him, and I heard him speak to me, and I did not listen, but I blessed God that I was able to come out, and I was able to come out in my right.
Yes.
Even though my mind was a little messed up when I came out, but thank God for healing, amen, because thank God for healing, because when I say my mind not being there is that I went through a deep depression. I went through being oppressed, being mentally, verbally abused, and it was just a whole mess. But I do bless God. But over a course in time, like Minister Jack Quay said last week, that she had a place where she forgave her ex-husband, and she's still able to have if she has to conversate, if she has to, she's okay because she has forgiveness within her heart. You know what I'm saying? So I communicated with my children's father, you know, my ex-husband, because I had to ask God to remove that bitterness from my heart because it would take root over you. I'm like, I can't.
Yes,
it's not about me. It's about me wanting to be free in the Lord. Hallelujah. So I wasn't so bitter till now. I feel like I don't want to get married again. Yes, I do. I really do. So whenever God sends them, I'll be open and more wise at the time. And that's another thing. You have to be careful, too, when it comes down to your children, because my daughter had explained sometimes she's so protective over me is because she don't want me to go, even though she was young, but she don't want me to go through the things I have made going through in my marriage. And I had to let her know, baby, everybody is not the same. Yeah, there's some good men out here, but I understand how you feel. So women, if there's any men on this call who are dating, you know, be mindful if you have children, because sometimes your children can be so guarded. You be thinking they have an attitude because they don't want mommy and dad to be happy, but no, they just don't want you to be hurt again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So before I go to the next topic, me and Minister Jack Quay briefly discussed on yesterday, what happens, and this is a part of my second book that's coming out, what happens when after you come from that relationship and you adapt those same like spirits? Oh, my God, let me tell you something. When you hear folks saying that, you know how you come out of one abusive situation and you go into another and you look at it differently because you wanted to be in that relationship? No, my eyes are open. If I can just be transparent some, I had a couple years ago after the divorce and came out of my marriage, 7 years later, you know, I decided, okay, maybe if I date. So I dated someone, and we dated for a while. But he had those same like spirits. But because it was so smooth, I didn't see it. You know what I'm saying? So coming out of a relationship and after 7 years, we decide, okay, now, you know, I'm feeling good. You know, the kids is great. I'm great. And I can go back out there and I can date. So I dated this guy. He had the same spirit. And it came to my mind, you know, when you hear your grandparents and your mother say, you know, you can adapt those same spirits going into another relationship. It's so true. Because I was getting ready to adapt that same spirit that I had to someone who I was married to for 10 years. And he had the spirit of being oppressive. Like, he was oppressing me. If I say I'm at the mall, then he's upset because he didn't go with me. Mm. If he sees me on Facebook and I'm at a cookout, he's upset because I didn't invite him. All of those, that right there is possessiveness, controlling, and I was starting to be oppressed. And I said, you know what? This is not worth it. Just like when when you marry them, it's going to be triple of what you see right now. Declan, you want to go add to that?
Yes, no, I definitely agree, 100%. Yeah. And I love what you said about when you go through one situation, it is up to you to take those things and what you have learned in that previous relationship and then apply it to your next. But what I would also like to add with that is that in that, for me, that is part of the process that you have to go through. So when you finally make it out of a certain situation, it is very, very important that you become self-aware. And for me, I believe that no one other than God should know you better than yourself. And what I mean from what I mean from that is that after you come through that situation, here are just a couple of things that you truly need to sit down. Number one was, where have you seen growth? So now that you're out of that, where have you seen yourself grow in that situation, from that situation? The second thing is, what areas in you still need work? Because, see, sometimes when we come out of things, we say that, you know, this person did that to me, and yes, they did that. Yes, I understand that. But at the end of the day, what areas in you still need work after you come through that situation? The third thing are, what are your triggers? And just like you said, you should be able to see those red flags. But see, a lot of times what we like to do is, God will reveal things in people, but because we might want certain things so bad, we tend to glaze over. We try to put a little gloss over. We try to make it something that is not. And I can speak from that because I've seen certain things. I've seen the drink. I've seen the smoking. But for me, I'm like, oh, that's going to get better. Oh, that's going to change. Well, no. Just like you said, when you get married, it triples. So you have to be able to identify what are those triggers for you relationally. What are those red flags that God will reveal to you? But it's up to you to see it for what it is and put aside the fact that, yes, you might want it so bad, but would it really be worth you losing your mind, your insanity, you being verbally abused, you being mentally abused? Because guess what? Some things, and the devil has a way of making things look really, really good and appeasing until you get into it. It becomes a trap. And then the next thing that I have was, what are your non-negotiables? And that's something that I learned from a TV show that I began watching. What are your non-negotiables? What are those things in your neck that you are not willing to tolerate? Something that will not shake you, something that will not be able to move you off your stance. What are those things, what are those non-negotiables that you are not going to tolerate? And then finally, you really have to come to a place of, after I've come through this, who have I become? Who am I now? Who am I after I've learned what I've learned in those situations? Then from there, it gives you a better idea and a better view of what kind of person will now be suitable and compatible for you. Because what might have been compatible or you thought was compatible or suitable before will not be the same, because if you leave the same way that you were from that relationship, then there's a problem. Because every time God takes us through things, or when we even put ourselves through things, it should always shift us in a way. Now, I'm not saying it's always in a positive way, but guess what? You can always take something positive from that situation that can then make you positive, make you better in a better light. So that's what I would add to that. And then just like you said, as you get back into that dating process, before you even step into that dating process, you yourself need to go through a process of healing, because not only can that person, not only can that person, you know, bring on those same oppressive spirits that that you are aware of, what are those things in you that are causing you to still attract towards that same person? What are those areas in your life that you have not identified that's then again causing you to go right back to the same exact person that you just left? You know what I'm saying? But when you truly take that time and you truly go through that healing process where you you go through the process of forgiveness, you seek out a counselor, a therapist, a spiritual advisor, whoever, to help you sort through those feelings, you begin to develop those healthy habits and outlets, then you should be well and you should be strong enough in who you are to say, okay, I understand, you know, who I was before and why I put myself in that situation, but now I'm this person. Yes. So really, you should not be back in the same exact situation that you were that you were in before. If you truly went through that process, that healing process, you know what I mean?
I do.
So
I
there has to be something in you that's not dealt with if you're finding yourself right back with the same kind of person, but just might look a little different.
Before I married, I did see the signs and I ignored them because, see, when you come into a situation and you hire like you can see the next one. And why not? You're not exempt from that. You know what I'm saying? But then you start searching and looking, you right at yourself like, why am I adapted to that? But it's so crazy because prior to that, anybody I've dated before marriage treated me like a queen. They were like awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't even have those kind of issues. But then that's why I kind of equated or just say, you know, maybe it's because it's the spirit for me. Because I'm like, I'm not understanding that. Before I was married, everybody who I dated treated me like a queen. Then the person I said I do to, what God told me not to, didn't treat me right. So how was I thinking it was going to go right if God telling me to hold off and wait? It's not time. You know what I'm saying? So how do
that's a lot of times.
Not broken. You said what? Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, and see, a lot of times what I've learned is that sometimes as individuals, not even just females and males too, sometimes we get so uncomfortable in our season of singleness that we let our barriers down, we let our guards down, and we let all of our expectations down just to say I got somebody or just to be in somebody's presence or just for somebody to hold my hand, that everything that we may have, you know, became and did through our healing process then goes out the window when we start to get lonely. You know what I mean?
Right.
And a lot of times, yes, like you said, we begin to rush things and try to jump into things because we don't want to be alone. But it's also in that season of loneliness where you draw closer to God. Your ears become more open when you can truly hear.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, he helps to take those blinders off so that when he goes to reveal something to you, you can truly see what it is because you understand that God is just not going to be showing you this for no reason.
Yeah.
And we got to get to a place where we can be okay, and that season of singleness is not a prison, but it's truly a place that we can, you know, be in to truly, truly, truly get everything that we need for ourselves before we try to bring somebody else on, you know, with you. Excuse me.
Yeah. Mhm. Yes. Amen. And, you know, I also, what's in my spirit, too, is those who may be in a relationship and you may feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm stuck in this place. You know, what do I do to get past this place? You know, seeking God, waiting for his timing, waiting for God to minister to you. Because sometimes, and then don't beat yourself up if you went into it a second or third time and it didn't work out. Because we beat ourselves up. Oh, my God, this is my second marriage. This is my third marriage, and it's not working for me. No, put your pride aside and say, look, I don't know what happened, why I said I do, but God, how can you fix this thing? How can you help me to be a better person? Just like Minister Jack Quay said last week, and I also said, changing in the midst, because sometimes you could be stuck in a situation and you don't know what to do because your pride, you don't want to tell anybody. Well, guess what? People probably already know because we're seeing that you're, everything about you has changed. You know, ask God to help you not to be in that situation. Ask God that while I'm in it, Father, help me fix this marriage. Some things are fixable. Some things may not ever be fixed. I know a leader once told me that, you know, because I said, what you mean God can't fix it? He's not my friend, he can't fix it. But if you don't fix it, you have to change the thing. He wasn't talking about changing the divorce, you know, but he was saying in terms of myself and who I have become because I became so bitter to the situation. So don't allow that situation to change who you are. But for those who are in a toxic relationship or those who are in a workplace with people oppressing them, everybody getting raises, everybody being elevated except for you. Don't you know God did not forget about you? God didn't forget about you in that relationship. He didn't forget about you on the job. He didn't forget about you in your community. He did not forget who you are. You just got to trust God to hold on. Sometimes it becomes so discouraging because it's like, God, I'm crying out, but where are you? Don't you know he's carrying you? He didn't wrap his arms around you, but because you're so overwhelmed with your emotions, sometimes we don't even feel God. But he is there.
Yeah.
Ask God to, I'm not anointing everything around
you. You got
to
open your heart.
Don't use it no more for cooking or nothing. Because after you pray and anoint it, just use it for anointing your house. Ask God to anoint your mind in that situation of mourning because your loved one is born, so that you won't draw that bitterness up on the inside where it causes you not to embrace your other children because you feel like, Lord, what if you take them too? Don't think that way. Still embrace them. Still love on them. Still let them know that I'm still mom. I'm still dad. I'm going to love you even though God, the other one went on to be with the Lord. Ask God to remove that goodness from your heart, you know, and to give you some type of peace within yourself. Peace, because sometimes you may not understand why God do certain things or allow certain things to happen, but just know that all things work together for the good. the Lord. Just know that. So God dropped it in my spirit about those who may still be in a situation and what to do in terms of your mate. Ask God to give you a peace and give you direction, because you know some things can be fixed, some things can be saved. Amen.
Yes, they can.
You want to
they
ask
can.
Something?
Amen.
Like that? Mm-hmm.
No, I was saying amen.
Amen, amen. So, did you want to add something to that?
No, again, I would just completely, agree with you. And as I stated on last week, is that even in that, you just have to be sure that your heart is open to receive what the Lord can do for you. Because, see, sometimes we're in a situation, for some of us, we tend to get upset with God. We don't want to hear what God got to say. We don't want nothing to do with God. We begin to blame God. But even in that, we have to come to a place, like you said, where we're open to receive, you know, what God can in turn do for us, even when we're in a situation. But again, you hit it right on the head, Reverend Martin. And I 100% agree with everything that you stated. Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And because sometimes you can actually look at other situations that begin to covet. You know, I was so messed up in mine, I didn't have a chance to covet over somebody else's marriage.
Yeah.
Or somebody else's raise on a job, or somebody being elevated. I didn't have a chance to even, thank y'all for the hearts that's coming up, I didn't even have a chance to even covet over somebody else's relationship. Because sometimes you can covet over somebody else had. But let me tell you
you
something.
Sure
you
can.
Know that too, Mrs. Jetway. When those doors are closed, it looks pretty on the outside. But when those doors are closed, you don't know what's going on in the inside. Woo,
that's
inside.
Right. That's
because
so right.
You get so quick when you put on a facade for your family.
Oh,
you put on a facade for everybody.
And
I never forget, when my sister Amelie came back to the house one day, and afterwards, I covered up real good. Wiped the tears from my face because we had a bad argument.
Yeah.
I wiped the tears from my face and, you know, got the kids ready, and they went on to camp because it was the summertime. And she said to me, I know something's going on. Let me tell you something about God. Just like I know Jazz, your sister, probably feel different things on the inside, and she know you just like your parents know you.
Sister,
I heard you crying from the corner. I heard you crying in my spirit from the corner. What is going on in here? Lord knows she was nowhere near my house, but in her spirit, she heard me crying. And I said, look. And then she said, you are acting like an abused woman. You're acting like an
my
abused
God.
Woman because abused women hide behind their makeup, hide behind their clothes.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Glory. Hide behind what's going on. And her thing wasn't not to leave him. Her thing wasn't, you need to fix that. If there's something going on, deal with it. You know, get counseling.
Yes,
pray
yes.
You know I've been praying over it, but stop hiding because I was hiding from my family. But let me tell you something, girl. So we put our facade and we hide, but
we
so
sure
broken,
do. Shame.
Inside, so broken.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so crazy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want people to see that it won't work because I don't want people to look at God like, you know, he can't, like, he's not fixing this marriage.
Yeah.
I thought you crazy.
You are so right about it.
So crazy. I know God was like, no, if it ain't working, let me use you for my glory to let folk know we do make mistakes, but I'm delivered.
Yeah.
We do make mistakes, but you are overcoming. And we do make mistakes, so you are victorious. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Oh my God.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus. So allow God to use me to see that even if you do make a mistake, what I can do for
you. Yes.
Ooh, glory.
Yes.
I tell you.
Yes, God.
Ooh, I tell you. So just hiding behind a facade, and if you want to elaborate on that, if you want to add something, Minister, you can.
I was just going to say very briefly, because, again, you were just taking us there, Reverend Martin. But I was just going to add, and I kind of said it as you was talking, was that, you know, the same for me. But sometimes we become so shameful. And for me, speaking for myself, for me it was more so a matter of, well, you know, they already, like I said last week, they already told me not to do it. But, you know, I didn't already went and did it. So, therefore, you know, I can't go and look stupid. Or I can't go and look like, you know, y'all were right. So you begin to kind of play those things in your mind and try to come up with different excuses why you shouldn't go and say something. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, like for me, I would go and say a little bit, but I wouldn't go and say to the full extent of what it was because, oh, I don't want want to make him look bad, or I don't want people, you know, to start looking at him, or I don't want my uncle to call him snap, you know, just stuff like that. So we begin to play things in our mind and come up with things as to why we shouldn't do it, where, as you stated, that's not what, you know, what should be going on. But what I love about what you said is that just like with your sister, it was the same for my sister and my mother. They're like, no, you know, you are not. You are not who you are. Like, what is going on? Like, something is just not sitting right. You know, just through a normal conversation, I'm talking and my voice is all cheery, trying to pretend like everything was all right. But what I thank God for is people in my corner who can see past the mask, who can see past, you know, what I'm trying to make myself sound like in order to downplay an issue that's truly bigger than what I was trying to make it out to be. But again, as you stated, you can be victorious. You are an overcomer, and even in that, it's time now to take off that mask and be real, not only with other people, but first with yourself. Because as you say, that some things definitely are, you know, can change. But those things that may not change, you know, while you're there, can still change. But God will, again, use that in your story so that then you can now go and help somebody else who may be in the same situation. Because if we didn't never go through anything, who will be the voice to then help the next? But again, you hit it right on the head, Reverend Wanda. You hit it right on the head. And that is just so right.
Yes, I'm telling you, and it was so crazy because coming out of it, I'm like, when I would look at myself in the mirror, talk about your self-esteem, I'm like, you're ugly, you're ugly. I don't like my hands. I didn't like my face. I didn't like the way I speak, my tone. I didn't like anything about me. I'm like, hold up, what's up? I went in with all of that. It ends with high self-esteem.
Yeah.
I went in to loving myself. So I didn't even love my hands, but one day, I looked at my hands after a couple years, and I'm just staring, and one of the leaders said, why are you looking at your hands? I said, oh, my gosh, I love my hands, and they flow right with me. They said, oh, I'm so happy, because I guess they knew this Gordon went through so much where I started falling in love with me again. I started falling in love with the tone of my voice again. I started loving who I see in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy because it beats
myself. You have to affirm yourself
so much when you come. When you constantly hearing somebody saying, what? You leave, you ain't gonna make it, you're gonna find up in a shelter and all this, and there's nothing wrong with those who are going to live in a shelter because sometimes
absolutely not.
When you try to get to a house and when you try and you need shelter over you, so there's nothing wrong with that, but because I always work on my own shelter, they use that against me. Oh, you gonna wind up running one, no, you gonna live in one, but guess what? If that's what I had to do, me and my baby was going to be there because I knew that at least I have shelter over my head. At least I know
that I'm
accounted for, allotted for, and then I'd have been able to purchase my own house. Hallelujah. So if nothing wrong with you, got to cut that route, ladies, and some men who have to take that route. Ain't nothing wrong with it. God provided it for you. Hallelujah. But those kind of things that make you feel like you can't make it without them. Well, just like you said, I'm a king's kid. I know God got all power on his hands. I know that I can make it. Hallelujah.
Right.
I know the
head and
not the world. I know I can make it. Yes. Hallelujah. So fall in love with who you are. And don't allow somebody to make you feel
yourself.
Rejecting who you are because you are somebody, especially when it comes down to them stepping out. It really makes you feel like, oh, my God, I'm not beautiful enough. Oh, my God, I couldn't satisfy you. Yeah, you could satisfy. You are beautiful. It's just that they had a problem with the own self. And normally outside, people who oppress you really have a whole bunch of insecurities. Woo!
But they want to throw it on you. Amen.
Go ahead, Minister Jackway, because you know me and you could go all night.
No, I was just agreeing with you that a lot of times what I've come to the realization of, a lot of times, just like you said, that person has a lot of their own insecurities, but instead of just admitting that, they then change it around, they throw it on you. So in order to cover up what I got going on or whatever, in order to cover up, you know, the things that's not right with me, now I'm going to change it to put the spotlight on you so that now you can feel less than, because I feel less than, and now I have you right where I want you to be. But I love what you said. That's not who you are. And when you know who you are, you don't allow for other people to come and tell you that you're beneath who you know you're called to be. So I love that. Yes. You are beautiful. You are handsome. You are more than enough.
Yes,
and God has exactly who he needs you to have. But it's up to you to see that. I love it. Yes.
And if and you write, it's up to you to see that, and it's also up to you to see all of those red flags that we talked about, going into another situation,
yes.
going into another relationship, seeing those red flags and saying, you know what, are you crazy to go back down that road again? And
yes, is it worth it?
When I start seeing that, let me tell you, I said, I don't care how lazy he is. I put on brakes. I'm out of this. I'm done with this. And let me tell you, I prayed. I said, God, I said, can you remove this person? Because I know I can't do it in my own strength. So I'm coming from an abusive situation and going into a relationship and dating and somebody with those same characteristics, but just like you said, Minister Jackway, the intensity may not be as bad as others, but it's you, but you know it's still going to be a problem. So I said,
that's
Lord,
right.
please remove this from me. And God removed them that quick. Let me tell you something.
He sure will.
I removed it. I didn't care how nice they was to me in dating. I'm out of here because I'm not going back down that same road. But my broadcast is getting ready to end. It has been wonderful with Minister Jack Quay. I love it. Did you want to say something before we pray out?
No, I just want to say thank you so much again for having me. I truly, truly enjoy myself. And as you always say, we could go on and on and on with just empowering, just encouraging, you know, not only women, but men too, that you are more than enough, that you are victorious. And most of all, that you are an overcomer. And where you currently are is not the place that you have to stay in, but you can push past that place and step into your greater. Thank you all again for having me, and God bless. Bless you.
Amen. Yes, yes. We thank God for you too. Oh my God, you have been phenomenal, and your transparency and you just being so real and your passion to want to help others is just so phenomenal. So we're going to close out in prayer. Father, is there someone you want to add on the prayer list, or are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay, all right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We lift you up. We give you the highest praise, Father. We see all the comments, God, that we will go back and revisit after this call, God. Lord, we thank you for just being so great. Lord, we give to God, if you would just touch Deacon Randy on today, God, and just continue to touch his body, Deacon Randy. Doctor me, Father God. Touch everyone that's ill on today. Touch this nation, Father God. Touch this world, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we bind up racism right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We bind up anything that may try to come against us. We thank you for this broadcast on today, God. Lord, go before our governor, our officials on today, Father God. Lord, go before our president, God. Put him in his right mind, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for everyone that's on this call. I thank you for Minister Jack Quay, God. Continue to use her
thank you, Father.
Story, God, to honor her belly to flow rivers of living water, God. Lord, you will make a way out of no way. And we are grateful on today, God. Make every crooked path straight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Fill her back up. Restore her, God.
Thank you, Father.
In the mighty name of Jesus, God. Anything that was poured out, fill it back up, God. We thank you for our anointing. We thank you for the power that was bestowed upon her, God. Touch her parents and her grandmother on today. Touch her sister,
yes,
Lord. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins. We love you. We love you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. But before
in
we
Jesus
close,
name.
The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So in peace,
amen.
Know that God is on your side. Know that he is a deliverer. Know that he is a way maker.
Yes.
You should see all the hearts coming out, Minister Jack Quay. Know that he's a mind regulator, a heart fixer, and I love him.
Yes.
So this is the end of this. Concludes our Pushing Past This Place. We had to do a part two. I'm so grateful for her to come on. Amen. Like she said, just know that you are victorious. You are overcomer. Amen, and God bless you, and you all have a wonderful evening. So just know to hope in God and know that you are victorious. God bless you. Amen.
God bless you. Bye-bye.